Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. I'm Eric JB, and I wanted to do a little something different. I know I usually talk about empowering youth and young adults by having conversation with youth leaders, from youth pastors, youth ministers, youth directors, all these different walks and shapes and types of colors and parts of life. But I wanted to just focus on a topic today, and it's something that I believe young people are really struggling with or really wanting to talk about, and that's dating. So today we're going to talk about it with a special guest here on Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. So stick around. All right, everybody, welcome back. And today I am joined with Nehemi Lamar, a young lady who has been a former guest on my radio show For the Z, and of course here on this podcast, Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. How you doing tonight?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Doing all right. So the reason I have you on, Nehemi, is you have a very interesting background, and something that I think is very interesting in the fact that you were raised in a pretty conservative household where women were given a lot of responsibility and also kind of been put in this kind of box where dating isn't supposed to happen until you get diplomas in your hand, and I'm talking about, you know, graduate school diplomas. Am I correct? Am I right?
Pretty much.
Okay. So that's why I think you could have a good opinion and a good lens to talk about this. And that is about dating and relationships, especially growing up in the church. I feel like young people have been talking about this a lot. I follow TikTok a lot, Christian TikTok, and one of the things that they always be talking about is, where is my promised husband? Where is my future wife? Because, you know, if we are worshiping God, we trust in God, then we pray for one, a partner, and it should happen. And that's what I'm having a lot of issue in realizing, because I feel like when I was growing up, I was taught the same thing, in that if I believe in God and trust in God and I pray, then my promised one will arrive. And I think that's kind of one of the reasons why there is an issue in dating with young people growing up in the church. What's your thoughts on it, Nehemi?
Personally, I agree. I think the church does a lot of, in a way, they tend to segregate the females from the males in terms of like how to approach dating. And there's a lot of these stereotypes or like connotations that, oh, if you do this, the third, then when the time comes, then you'll find a spouse or your husband will come. As you mentioned, like, pray, make sure you have your relationship with God in place, which is very true. I'm not gonna disagree with that fact. But the issue comes with when someone is so focused on themselves and their relationship with God, but they don't really know how to interact with other people. Having simple conversations, knowing what to look for on a first date. These are conversations that are not being initiated in the church, nor is it really being initiated in the homes of most communities, more specifically the Haitian community. So in terms of youth, I can only speak for myself, but I can't speak for others, but I have spoken to others and their perspective are very much so similar to mine. So in the community right now, it seems like they still perceive us as 5-year-olds or like as children, and they're forgetting to remember the fact that we are growing up. And a lot of us, at least my peers, we're currently in college. A lot of us are in our third year, fourth year, almost done with college. And it's been instilled in our head that once you graduate with college, a husband and wife is just going to magically appear and you're just going to be set for life, where you're just going to get married, have kids, and all of this is just going to fall into place. But in reality, that's not how it works. In order for you to find a spouse, first you need to find a boyfriend. But in order to be in, like, to be in a relate, well, first, before you can get married, you got to get engaged and then, you know, find a boyfriend. But before that, there's like getting to know someone, talking, all these other steps before them that they don't really seem to talk about or really teach you how to go about it. So a lot of the youth are finding themselves in positions that they probably shouldn't be because they're confused and not really sure what to do. Or a lot of them are just abstaining from it and just waiting, but they feel confused and feel like not stressed, but confused, honestly. It's like, well, I've been promised if I do this, I keep myself, like I remain abstinent, I do God's will, I do God's work, that my husband or my wife will come. And then you do these things, and then you're wondering, well, when will my time come? And a lot of them end up waiting years for it. And it creates a sense of like tension between you and your relationship with God, because now you start blaming it on God. It's like, well, God, I thought you were supposed to provide me with a person. So where is my person? Why is my person not here? But in reality, I don't think that's the case. I feel like God has given us all the tools that we have available. Like, yes, you need to make sure you do as I ask of you, and when your person come, they will come. But he also made the tools available within your community, like all around us, to be able to find that person and be able to recognize when that person comes to you and not just be so dismissive of them, like, oh no, you're not the one. When the one comes, I don't know how I'm gonna know, but somehow I'm gonna know. If that makes sense.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. And you are coming kind of where I was expecting. You did give some more insight. But yeah, this is something I totally am seeing when discussing this with young people, because I feel like the church is not talking about this. The church is not talking about dating. We are talking about God promising spouses, but we're not talking about dating. And what I think the church also and everyone needs to realize is that dating is a part of growing relationships. It's a part of learning about somebody. Here's another thing that I realize now that I'm married, is that dating is very important, because when you marry, the dating doesn't stop. When you're married, the dating doesn't stop. And that's what I thought was not the case. I thought once you're married, you don't have to date anymore. But that's not the case. So actually, getting better at being proficient and knowing how to date well will actually prepare you to be in a better relationship and understand the boyfriend, the girlfriend phase, to engagement, to marriage, and then after marriage, the I do's, much better. And that's something I believe the church needs to tell us, because I think they're not saying that. And what happens is we get young people who either do two things. Either they rebel against what the church or the parents say and they date, or they are obedient and then they start saying the things that you said, which is, where is my person? Because I was obedient. And that's what really, and that also puts a strain, because when you are obedient, you're expecting something in return. And that is, hey, God, I didn't have any premarital sex. I kept my nose in the books. I listened to my parents. I listened to the church. I was an upstanding student and child. Where is he or she? And they get frustrated. A question I have for you is, you did mention earlier that there is a dichotomy between what they tell the guys versus what they tell the girls. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. I feel like for the females, there's a lot of you can't. The females seem to be a little bit more restricted in what you can do, what you can say, and how you move. Whereas the guys, they seem to have a little bit more liberty in the church in terms of like who they can talk to, how they talk to them, and how they approach dating. As a female, you know, you have your responsibilities at home that you need to take care of. You have your responsibilities in terms of like school that you need to do. And if you're a part of the church ministry, you have that. And there's a way that society sees you as a woman. There's so many roles you have to fulfill. And when it comes to like relationship, they tell you, make sure you dress apart, make sure you walk apart. You need to act like a lady in order to find a guy. You need to make sure you do this. You need to learn how to cook. You need to learn how to clean. And all these things, which I'm not saying are bad things to know or like bad qualities to have as a young female in order to be prepared for marriage or be prepared for your husband. But are those same conversations, those same topics also being shared with the guys? They're not. Like, guys are not being told like, hey, you need to learn how to cook. If your wife is feeling down one day, you should know how to prep up something so you can feed your wife and feed your children. You should also know how to cook. You should also know how to clean. You should also know how to sew or like iron and all these things. Not because it's essential for marriage, but because they're just basic life necessities. Like, those are just basic things you need to know how to do in life. So because of that, there's this, not diversion, but in a sense where like females have a list of roles they need to complete and all these qualifications that they have to fulfill before they can enter a relationship, and all a guy needs to do is be respectful, and like they don't really have the same contributions. So then having that notion in your head, once you enter into a relationship, it creates a strain in the relationship, because a lot of the heavy work and a lot of the labor is being done by the female, and the guys are not taught like how to also do that in order to support your wife. If your wife made the food, learn how to do dishes as a child so that you can clean the dishes. Or if she cleans the dishes, or learn how to, you know, learn the same amount of responsibilities should be negated to both parties, but it's not. And because of that, I feel like once you enter a relationship, it, in the guy's head, they have this preconceived notion of like, oh, this is how would like a marriage should be. The female's supposed to take care of all these things. I don't need to take care of it. And as a female, it's just like you feel stressed and overwhelmed because I have all these roles to fulfill. I need to take care of my husband. I need to take care of my kids. I need to take care of my house. While doing that, I'm going to school. While doing that, I'm going to work. And it's like all your husband has to do is go to work and provide. But you also got to provide too. So where is that sense of equality where I'm balancing you out and you're balancing me out? Because aren't we supposed to be one? Am I not supposed to fulfill you and you fulfill me as well? So I feel like the church and mostly like this community, the Black community, the Haitian community, we have a hard time differentiating like what role like we're supposed to play as a female versus a male in relationship, especially like a Christian relationship.
Wow. I'm seeing what you're saying. It's something I can understand how I think it's not even just the Haitian culture. I think it's a lot of cultures where men are just told, you know, listen, if you're providing money, you've basically got it covered. And what happens is that's not the case. And we usually find it's a lot more work. It's a lot more work. And that's where a lot of strain happens for men to see, it wasn't just, unless I was providing an exorbitant amount, you know, if I was a millionaire or billionaire or something like that. But if I'm just providing a steady paycheck, there's still so much more, especially if my wife is also doing the same amount. If we're both working 8 hours, then we're both coming home. So there's still got to, food has to be made and house has to be cleaned. But if both of us are working, then we both come home at the same time. It's equal. So we both have to understand how we have to balance each other out. Yeah, that's something that is totally true. And some another part of this conversation that we need to be having in the church, and we need to be being honest with our young men in the church, saying, hey, listen, there's a lot of responsibility in being a man. But here's another thing I wanted to mention, and I listened to somebody mentioned this. He said it's more in America too, that how can a woman be all put together and then a man not be all put together and still date that said woman. And it's like women are trained to be products and men are trained to be consumers. So the thing about consumers is consumers don't have to worry about their personal appearance. They don't have to worry about, are they put together? But a product has to make sure that they're all, you know, aesthetically pleasing. You know, everything is all covered, because if the product isn't good, it's not going to be consumed, right? But if you're a consumer and you're getting a product, then you don't have to worry about it. And it's also kind of another issue that I've noticed, which is the thought of ownership, right? The thought that I don't know if many men have this feeling, but I felt like this happened to me when I was growing up. Like, when I believed that a woman would be promised to me, then all of a sudden in my mind, if I saw someone that I liked and I said, oh, this might be the one, there was this immediate click in my mind of ownership, which should not have happened. And I realized looking back that that's what really messed me up. And so it's very interesting in how culture plays a part, society plays a part, tradition plays a part in this upbringing. But I feel like the church should be a place where we have that honors conversation, because like I said, dating is continual and we need young people to be able to date properly. So my question to you, why do you think the church isn't talking about it?
Honestly, maybe it's because they don't know, or maybe it's because they were never taught it. It's really hard to kind of pinpoint what the reason is, but there obviously is a reason because it's not happening. But I do know, culturally speaking, these are conversations that were initiated from generations before, or like these are not conversations that was passed down from generation to generation. Our parents and our parents' parents, when they were growing up, especially like a lot of them who migrated to this country, it was always females would get married at a very young age, and they would often get married to a man who's several years older than them, because that man would be the provider for them. But they were never actually taught to look for qualities in a man that can help uplift them spiritually, but also mentally, physically, emotionally. They were looking for someone who could help them survive. And that's kind of like what they grew up with, and that's the information that they knew. And so a lot of times now, like when our generation, or like as more kids are growing up, they're starting to see back then, well, maybe I should have went for my education first. I should have did this first, and I should have postponed marriage and stuff. But that's all they're seeing, and that's all they're sharing. It's like, oh, make sure like you have all your degrees first before you get into a relationship. And it's like, okay, as a female, for me, it's been like, don't date, don't talk to boys, none of that, until you graduate. But I know the moment I have like my degree, the first question I'm gonna have is, where's my husband? When are you getting married? And when are you gonna have kids? And I can confidently say that because I saw it happen to my family members. Literally the moment they graduated, just like, okay, now when are you gonna get married? But you can't really ask me that question if I can't just skip to marriage. Like, there's a whole process that follows before you enter a marriage. Like, you gotta get to know somebody, you gotta talk to them, you gotta date them, gotta get engaged. There's a whole process before that. But like, the way they speak and the way they act, it makes it seem like that process, it doesn't exist. Like, if you do all these things, get your degree, and like the moment like it's like you're done graduating, you're just gonna magically be married and live a happily ever after. And I think that idea is flawed, and it's kind of corrupting a lot of the youth in a sense, because now a lot of them are just blindly entering into relationships, not knowing what to look for and not knowing what role they're supposed to play in a relationship, because these conversations were never initiated. As a female, you're in, you're dating, but you're dating as a Christian. What are you allowed to do and what are you not allowed to do? I know to abstain from sex till marriage, but can I go on dates? Can I hold, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of conversations are appropriate to have with my boyfriend? And as a male, like, talk about, like, self-control. It's like, you need to respect the female, and but how do I show her respect, and how do I show her love while respecting God and keeping him, like, the foundation of our relationship? These conversations are extremely important, and I believe, like you mentioned before, like, once you get married, like, the dating continues. So I feel like a lot of marriages end up failing in a sense because of that aspect. A lot of people don't really understand that concept. They see dating as, like, this, as a joke, like, oh, you just do that because you're bored or just to have fun. But, like, I don't know if it's because of, like, the negative connotation associated with dating, but that's not what dating is, or at least it's not what's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a time for you to get to know someone and actually make a decision. Is this somebody I want to, like, further and, like, live the rest of my life with? Or if it's not, and if that person is, well, how do I go about doing that? What kind of conversations do I have with them? And what kind of activities do we do so that we can grow spiritually and we can grow mentally together and we can grow physically? And once we enter the marriage stage, how do I continue that same flow, continue that same process? It's like, okay, do I stop getting her flowers or do we stop going on dates? Because, like, I don't know, maybe it's a fear that children, not children, but the youth will start entering into relationships too early. That's why the adults have a fear of, like, talking about what relationship is. But one thing that is not okay and the church community is doing is that they're telling you, like, what not to do in a relationship, but they're not telling you what to do once you enter into a relationship. So when a lot of people, a lot of the youth, like, they follow those same rules, and, like, once they're ready, they finally enter into a relationship. A lot of them are blind and they don't really know what to do. And a lot of them can get hurt in that way because the relationships will fail. And once you enter a relationship, whether it's just talking, whatever, there's an emotional investment that you make doing so. So you entering into a relationship knowing what not to do, but having absolutely no idea what to do, at least the slightest bit of guidance, I feel like is very destructive to yourself and to your partner.
Wow. Wow. That is very great insight, Nehemi. It's powerful what you just said. And it's true. I believe that we need to have these conversations. I want to go a little deeper into that fear of dating too early. What do you think is that worse? What do you think will happen that would be harmful in when a young person dates too early? What do you think is their fear? Like, give what's going through their minds when they see that.
For me, my fear is essentially failure. If I enter a relationship too early, like, there's a lot of years before I feel like I'll be ready for me to be married to somebody. And there are years associated with that. I want to be financially stable. I want to be within my career. I have certain goals that I have set for myself that I would like to achieve before entering into a marriage, because I want to be able to provide for my husband as well as be able to provide for myself and for my future children. And at an early age, I'm not confident that I can do that. So I have no desires to enter a relationship at a young age. But a lot of other youths, I would say some of them have that same similar fear in a sense, but also too, it's just like, I don't know, finding a way to word it. It's like fear of, like, heartbreak or hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, but I really want to know, what do you think the fear is in the adults and in the, you know, in having young people date too early? What's their fear?
I think their fear is their children becoming unsuccessful or making the same mistakes that they did as a youth. Like, a lot of our parents, because of, like, that cultural influence of them getting married young, a lot of them regret it. And they started having kids young. And they have this fear that if my child also starts dating young, they might also fall into the same traps that I did when I was young, because I wasn't aware, I didn't know. And another thing too associated with it is, like, there's a higher risk for females. If you start dating or enter into a relationship early, I'll give, like, 16, for example, you're still in high school. Me personally, I don't think you're ready to enter a marriage yet. I feel like there's some growing that you need to do before entering into a marriage. So there's that fear of, like, well, what if she gets pregnant? They lose that, you know, abstaining from sex till marriage. But the earlier you start, the harder it becomes to wait, because the more attracted you become to that person, the more you want to talk to them, the more you become emotionally invested into them. And there's so many years, I guess, left for you to like, should enter into that role. So there's just that fear of like becoming parents earlier than you should.
Got it. Yes. Yes. That's what I was looking for, because I think that's what we have to discuss, and that's what we have to really be honest with our young people about. I think it's pretty obvious that the young people know these fears, but it's rare, I think, that we express it and say it out loud. What we usually tend to hear is don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But we never hear the whys. And I think if we hear the whys, it can inform our decision making and our and lead to better conversations about this. Because I feel like when we have the conversation of don't do this, don't do that, it's you know, it's like if we are going to, I always like to liken youth ministry to baking a cake. If I'm instructing you how to bake a cake, but I'm just telling you all the things not to do, you could still make something horrific. It's just, you're not going to make something that's poisonous, right? I'm just going to say, you can't make a cake out of cement. Don't make a cake out of rubber, right? And then, okay, you'd be like, okay, but then you're still asking, but what do I make cake out of, right? Is it eggs? Is it flour? You know? So it's like, we have to also, yeah, the do nots are good, but let's also give the tools. Let's give the ingredients. Let's let them fail a little bit. And here, and that's where, when you said fear of failure, this is where, you know, I start thinking, because I know in youth ministry and engaging with youth, fear of failure is a big deal. And it's a true reality that a lot of us have. And it's something that we have to learn to get over. And the way you get over it is by failing, unfortunately. And that means going out there and dating, experiencing heartbreak, experiencing failure, because that failure is one of the best life teachers. It teaches you how to become more successful. In fact, that's how our brains are actually wired. Like, if you look at like my 5-month-year-old, who is learning how to walk. It's amazing. I don't know why he's trying to skip crawling, but he is trying to walk by climbing the couch and things like that. And what always happens is he falls, right? And sometimes he falls and he doesn't hurt himself. So what he does is he'll look at me, and what he's looking for is my reaction. And so what I have to do is I have to smile and say, ha ha, yeah, because if I go, oh no, he will immediately start to cry, because he's saying, okay, I'm not supposed to fall. And that will also maybe affect his mindset, in that he will now be a little hesitant to fall next time. But he needs to fall. He has to fall. He's going to keep getting up and falling and getting up and falling, because that's how you learn to walk. Same thing with riding a bike. When you ride a bike, you get on it, you fall, you hurt, you scrape your knee. But then also your brain tells you, okay, that's not how you get on a bike, because if I get on it, I'm going to fall. And then you do that over and over and over again until you finally reach how to balance yourself and stay on a bike. And I think that's how it is with dating as well. Not to say the amount in quantity, because we have to be careful. And I know I've talked with you previously about that. We have to be careful about quantity. We don't need to be dating 400 people, 100 people, and things like that. But I think there is conversations in the church that we need to have, where we explain what is actually dating, what is actually talking, what, you know, the purpose of dating is, how you can navigate that at a young age while staying focused on school and life, so that you can have better relationships. This is something that I think the church is having a tough time doing, because I had to learn later in life. But learning how to have proper relationships, not only in the dating atmosphere, but just in general, learning how to have conversations with people, you know, and have friends, right? And have a community. This is something we need to talk about, because like we say in the church, we are bad at it, because like you said, Nahemi, we always hear, and I've talked about this on the podcast all the time, bad small talk. The church is notoriously known for horrific small talk, which is, oh my goodness, Nahemi, you finally graduated? Yeah, when are you getting married? No, that's that. Don't bother Nahemi with that right now. This is the conversation you should be having. Congratulations, Nahemi. You finished graduates. You graduated. I'm so proud of you. Awesome. What's next for you? That's what you should say. Don't already prescribe her life path, right? It's not your business, right? For me, now that I am married, it's, oh my goodness, you have a 5-month-year-old. When are you getting your third child? Who are you to say I'm getting a third child? How dare you, sir? How dare you, ma'am? How dare you know what I'm going to be doing with my life? Do you know my bank account? Do you know my socioeconomic status? Do you know God's plan for me? Have you prayed for me first? Right? Sorry, I'm getting a little heated. Yeah, I had to just start off with that, because, you know, who are they to say? So, yeah, we're notoriously bad at small talk. We need to learn how to have actually good small talk that actually makes people feel like, oh, elder so-and-so cares about me. Oh, sister so-and-so cares about me. And I don't feel worse, even though they tried to say nice things, but now I feel worse off. Like, right? Especially when you have that conversation. Oh, you graduated, but when are you getting married? And now you feel like, oh, I'm a loser again.
I didn't accomplish anything, pretty much.
Oh, man. So, what else is coming to your mind, Nahemi, as we finish off on this one?
There was one thing you said, and I kind of wanted to add on to it. It was the examples you gave about failure and how it's okay to fail, and how the church don't really talk about that. They make failure seem like it's the end of the world. So in a lot of the youth's mind, it's like, dang, if I fail, that's it. There's no coming back from it. And that's really destructive. And it makes it extremely hard to get back up again, because not only did you saw yourself as failing, but you've now lost your motivation to get back up and to continue forward. So telling youth that it's okay to make a mistake, it's okay to fail, is really important. But also too, it's also important to like make sure that when we do fail or when we do make mistakes, that we're also learning from it. So it's like when you gave the example of learning how to ride a bike, I started riding the bike, I fell down, I scraped my knee. And it's like, I got to get back up again. But what did I do while I was still on the bike that worked, and what didn't work? And if I noticed that, like, because I kept wiggling myself, it wasn't really, I don't even know how to explain how to ride a bike. But it's like, there's just certain things you do when you were on the bike that you could tell, and you felt it. Dang, I'm gonna fall. So it's like, when you get back up again, okay, I need to keep both hands on this the steering gear, because obviously I don't know how to ride a bike. And then
I think you've given away, because it's definitely not
how to ride a bike. But like when you're first learning how to ride a bike, you don't know how to ride a bike, so don't be trying to like, you know, put one hand, like, you can't do that. So it's just like, okay, so I know, like, learning the dynamics that worked versus the ones that didn't work, and going forward with what did work and leaving what didn't work behind. Like, allow yourself to learn from that. And don't continuously keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And like, those are the conversations that are like not really being initiated with the youth in terms of dating in the church. So as an elder or whatever your position, or just an adult in the church, during your dating years, this is the decision that you made, and these are the consequences that you had to deal with. So have those conversations. It's okay to tell the youth, I made a mistake too. You are not perfect. We know you're not perfect. Like, we can do math. We know. Okay. So it's like when the church pretends to be like, they're all holy, mighty, and perfect. Like, they've never made a mistake in their life. And they want to project that onto us and, like, constantly push and apply pressure. It's very suffocating. So instead of doing that, instead, have an open conversation without judgment, without bias with the youth. Talk to them, especially parents. Talk to your children. Like, when I was your age, this is the decision that I made, and these are the consequences that I had to deal with. And also tell them, early on in my relationship, this is what I did. It worked for me. It might not work for you, but I'll provide you with that tool. This is what I did. It did not work for me. It led me down these paths, and I don't want that for you. Like, have those conversations. Give them the good and the bad, and allow us to now perceive it. You've given us all the tools. You've given us all the information. What we choose to do it from that point forward is our choice, and obviously we're going to be the ones to deal with the consequences. But when you're not really providing us with all the tools, you're only providing us with basic, very vague and non-specific instructions, it causes more confusion. And you think as an elder, as a parent, you're doing good for your child by doing that. You're actually not. Mm-hmm. You're destroying the youth. And a lot of the youth actually tend to, like, end up leaving the church. That's also part of the reason why, like, a lot of the youth leave the church, is because there's not really a safe space in the church. Like, they don't really have anyone to go to where they can have an open and honest conversation, where if they make a mistake, they can comfortably come to someone saying, hey, I did this, and, like, now I feel stuck, I don't know what to do. Like, they need that guidance that, like, okay, hey, you made this choice, obviously it wasn't a good choice, and you're dealing with the consequences, but it's okay. But don't go back and keep repeating the same mistakes. You've now see the consequences that you had to deal with. What are you going to do about it so that you don't make those same mistakes? And here are some tools that you can use to prevent yourself from having to make those same mistakes again. But when you don't really have that conversation, you don't really have that open space, it makes it really hard. And you can put that into perspective with dating too. So it's like, I don't really know what to do. I didn't really have those conversations. And it's like, well, maybe if I had a conversation with an elder, it's just like, when it comes to a relationship, like a Christian relationship, this is what's okay. This is not what is considered okay. These are the choices that I made. These are the consequences and the path that it led me down. It's your choice. It's your decision to decide if you want to make those as well and learn from that yourself, or you can choose to learn from my mistake and do better. But withstanding from, like, the mistakes that they made and acting like it was all perfect, high and mighty, and like they never made a mistake in their life, and you better not make any mistake either, is really destructive.
Yeah, because that reinforces the fear of failure. Because if my parents never failed and they are where they are and they never failed, that means if I fail, that's it for me. I'm done. And that's not the case. Your parents definitely have failed. Everybody has failed. The only person that's never failed still was crucified on a cross and betrayed by his own disciple, okay? And he never failed, all right? So we need to be more honest with our people. And I love how you said, we know. So this whole high and mighty attitude, they can see right through it, because they see that you are just being false. They know that you messed up in your past. They know the truth. As you said, and I quote, we can do the math. So that might be a reference to something that you might realize what you got at, but let's just use it symbolically. They can do the math. They see the numbers and they add up. So let's be honest, all right? And by the way, Nehemi, it's not steering gear, it's handlebars. You definitely have never ridden a bike in your life. You have? Okay.
Good. Yeah.
You need to get back at it.
Everyone.
Oh, awesome. But it's handlebars. Okay. Handlebars.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. So I think we got some things off our chest. Nehemi, you're gonna be back. We're gonna talk today. We talked about why isn't the church talking about dating. Next time we're gonna be talking along the lines of let me make sure I have it. Because the last in our series is gonna be how do we date? So number two is going to be, why should we date? We're going to be talking about why should we not only talk about it in the church, which we talked about today, why should we then empower and give our freedom to our young people to date with giving them the tools. Why should we do that? And we'll talk about that next time. So as I do on this podcast, I always give it to the guests to give some words of encouragement. So Nehemi, there are some church leaders right now who do not want to let people date in the church. What words of encouragement would you say to them to convince them and make them understand that, hey, we have to empower our young people to make decisions in life and experience life?
It's better to have these tough conversations and keep the youth in the church than it is to ignore, pretend like these conversations don't exist, and have the youth struggling and suffocate in silence and end up leaving the church.